and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebupule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, just before the episode, this is a quick reminder to say if you're hearing this, it means you are not yet a subscriber of the Stretch Podcast. We don't run adverts on the Stretch Podcast. Our focus is on giving you great conversations with equally great guests. So our income for the podcast is directly from you, the listener, you, the subscriber. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. In the meantime, you will get a partial episode. We trust that you will love it enough to subscribe. Your host with another episode of the Stretch Podcast, and oh my goodness, I don't know how to prepare you for this one. I don't know how to prepare you for Hakeem. First of all, this episode was supposed to be titled Healthy Relationships in the 21st Century, or How to Create Healthy Relationships, something along those lines. But as the conversation went on, it became clearer and clearer to me that this is a conversation about a relationship with yourself, because you can never, guys, you can never, I mean, we know this, we are stretchers, you know this, I know this, you can never have a healthy relationship with another until you have a healthy relationship with yourself. Jan-Le Van Zandt puts it this way, and I'm just going to paraphrase, that you cannot love someone above the level that you love yourself. In other words, I will always love you to the extent that I love myself. So if I love myself at 5, you know, 5 being just a measure, I can't love anyone else at 7 or 8 or 10. And yet that's what we want as human beings. We love ourselves at number 5 or 3, sometimes 0, no self-love whatsoever. And then we think we can love someone else at 10. And so this entire conversation, much as it's about relationships, don't even worry, we do get to relationships. We do talk about women's understanding of relationships, men's understanding of relationships. We talk about sex. We talk about what sex does. We talk about God. We talk about largely what is it that you need to be in order to attract the relationship that you want. And oh, did Hakeem unravel me or what? Because I mean, I've always known that he's a deep person. I follow him on the socials. And I've always wanted him to be my guest. I just didn't know how to approach it until, you know, we followed each other on TikTok and I slid into the DMs, as I usually do. And the rest is history because he's here. And I'm going to read his bio very quickly for you and share with you a little bit about what we covered in the conversation. Hakeem Lesulang is a visionary founder of Fola Wellness and Healing, an innovative wellness company dedicated to transforming lives through holistic therapy. With a multifaceted background that encompasses roles as a marriage counselor, life coach, hypnotherapist, Hakeem has dedicated his career to guiding individuals and corporate teams on their journeys to emotional and mental wellness. His work is deeply rooted in empathetic connection and personal empowerment, has established him as a respected figure in the wellness community and a sought-after speaker and facilitator. Hakim's proven success with Fola Wellness and Healing continues to inspire those seeking balance and fulfillment in both their personal and professional lives. Don't you just love that name? Fola, heal. You know, Fola is heal, it's not cure, which is why curing and healing are not the same thing. Topic for another day. So like I said, I mean, honestly, between you and I, this is how I thought the conversation would go. I thought I would greet and, yeah, you know, check in, hey, how's the year, blah, blah, blah. And then the first thing I would ask is, why is it that we don't have healthy relationships? Why do we avoid them? And then he's going to give me five things. Like, the first thing is this, 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 that. And I thought the next question would be, what is it that women need to understand about men? And then he'd say, the 10 things that women would. Yeah, it didn't happen quite like that. No matter what I asked, it came back to us. It came back to me. It came back to the self. It came back to, there is no other way a relationship can be established until a relationship with the self is intact. And it's just a beautiful conversation. I mean, there's a moment, I think around minute 38, minute 30 something, where honestly, I don't think he's even aware, where I think spirit just took him. He was downloading like nobody's business. I normally mute myself because I do interject and I laugh loud and whatever. I would unmute just to say, and mute again and unmute just to say, yo, you know, that, yeah. So unfortunately, for those of you who are on the partial episode, you won't get there because I think your episode ends at minute 20. But as usual, I mean, by 20 minutes, you would have gotten a gist of who this man is. And if you don't know him, please do follow him. His social media and contacts are there on the show notes, but it would be really, really great for you to listen to the entire conversation. And you will love how he responds to the five rapid fire questions that I ask at the end. All in all, it was a deep conversation that really, at the end of the conversation, I said to him, this conversation was for me. You know, it was largely for me. There's a, you know, I might be a life coach and a teacher and a healer, but ourselves. And in a way, having this conversation with him reminded me of my own deep inner work that I need to continue to do, that I had sort of neglected or forgotten. You know, sometimes how we get, you know, you just focus so much on helping others and you forget to just deepen a little bit and go within. So this was mine for many, many reasons that I'll share some other time. So yeah, I give you my conversation with Hakim Lesulang. Hakim Anderson is in the house. I am such a fan. I'm so excited.
Thank you so, so much. I appreciate it. I'm ready for the stretch. I'm ready.
How do I put this? I did a happy dance when I saw that you followed my TikTok, which for me, TikTok is random. I actually don't even care about that app.
Yeah.
But I seem to have more followers there, which is very, very strange. So when I saw a follow, and I'm like, no, kiss game, asiena. So thank you for the follow, and I immediately
I'm like the last person who's got like scam accounts and stuff. Like, people don't know me like that. Only people who are supposed to know me like that.
Ah, I see. You know? So you are a niche. So,
like, yes, I'm super niche. I niched down a few years ago when I realized I'm all over the place, and I was like, nope, put anything in the bud, niche down, and it's since been a bliss to do what I do.
No, it's very similar. I think our paths have been very similar. I was also all over the place, especially on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And then I deliberately, and it's a deliberate act to be niche. So whoever finds me, finds me, whoever finds the podcast. And I do the same with my guests. I I zoom in for the niche ones. Okay. So anyway, it's a new year. That. Happy New Year. How is 2024 for you so far? How do you feel? How does it feel to you? Before I tell you, how does it feel to me?
It's great. Like, listen, waking up in the morning is great. Okay. Waking up to do life better than you did it yesterday, than you did it last week, than you did it the last month is actually incredible. So we ended the year on a bad note. Familiarly, we lost a few family members. So that was like a difficult moment for us. But, you know, thank heavens for the skills we have to help people heal and overcome hardships, you know, and to help people regulate and be in their fullness and rise to the occasion where life calls them to rise to the occasion. So ending the year was a downturn, but beginning the year, I think all of us agree to the fact that there's a lot of promise, and there's a lot of hope, and there's a lot of insights that we gained about ourselves that we wouldn't have gained had we not reconciled with what happened first and foremost. And like a lot happened in the last two quarters of the last year. So reconciling with what happened, acknowledging it, accepting it, and deciding to be better and to be more has been a helpful change of lenses for me, for the family, for the team at Fora as well. And started the year off on a bang with a lot of clear goals about what we want to accomplish and what we want to achieve and what we want to be. You know, and like looking at my wife, I'm just like,
she's hot. Your wife is gorgeous. I mean, your wife is amazing. I follow her because of you. And we'll talk about all that and your relationship. I mean, you're a fantastic relationship coach. So the reason you are here, Hakeem, first of all, people ask for you by name, my audience specifically. And there's a funny story. I wanted to tell you this before we start. 2 years ago, I was coaching this young lady. She hadn't had a date since 2010. No one approaches her, nothing. And I tried to work with her on certain things because I know that when it's like that, it's a lot of resistance on her side and a lot of blocks and a lot that she needs to work through. She came to you looking for a partner because I believe you have a pool of men or something, looking for a partner. Yes. And the question you asked her was, are you seeing a coach or a therapist, or are you doing something about your own emotional well-being? And then she apparently told me about, she told you about the fact that she's worked with me and so on. I found that so fascinating. And I remember saying, now this is the guy I want to talk to. A person who asks a client, are you in therapy? Are you doing something about your own emotional well-being? That is so fascinating. So I knew her, you're the one. Hakeem, why did you choose to do relationship coaching out of all the things you could have done?
Because I sucked at relationships and I needed to figure it out. Relationships were like the thorn on my side. I used to fail a lot in relationships, and I failed essential relationships. And so because that was a weakness on my part, that was something that I wanted to be a master at. I wanted to be masterful at the art of love, loving and being loved. And that pushed me to a lot of places that needed attention, that needed healing, that needed a lot of skins that I needed to let go of. I needed to undress myself. I needed to take off a lot of masks. I needed to take off a lot of defenses and break a lot of walls down concerning my identity with myself. So I chose relationship coaching. I chose relationship coaching. Let's start there. I chose relationship coaching, particularly because relationships suffer people who don't have a relationship with themselves. And I was that person. I was a person who didn't have a relationship with myself. I had a relationship with a perception of what the world thinks about me, of what this woman thinks about me, of what my father thinks about me, of what my mother thinks about me, of what the teacher or the professor thinks about me. I had a lot more of a relationship with that, and that required for me to wear masks and dress up in skins that I wasn't even comfortable in it. And because I wasn't comfortable with these things and I wasn't comfortable wearing these masks, I'd always, you lie a lot, you lead with energies that are not familiar to you. You pretend a lot, you perform a lot, right? But you come home and you're tired, your energy is depleted, you are out of sorts when it comes to identifying who you are. A person of importance, a person of incredible value to you, your presence and your future, asks you who are you and you can't answer because you've been lying to yourself more than anything about where you are, how you are, and who you are. So you can't really point to where you are. And that's where I found myself. And those are the things that I needed to work on. Those are like self-identity and identifying myself, literally engineering my own identity according to me. That mattered to me, was the most important thing ever in the world. And I started there. It came with a lot of, you know, hits and misses, a lot of trials, a lot of effort, but I knew the effort would pay off and I wasn't worried about who I'd lose, what I'd lose, because the people that I gained and the things that I gained, the money that I had, and I had a lot of money, you know, I made a lot of money pretending and performing and acting like I'm not who I am, you know what I mean? And that's the music phase in my life. That's the entertainment phase in my life. I made a lot of money based on who I wasn't. I literally created a persona. I created a persona and I sold the persona to the world. And when people started expecting the persona instead of the person, the human, with human experiences, that's when I knew there's something off here. When I started leading with the persona in relationships and expected people to love the persona and not the person, that's when I knew something was amiss and something was off and something was wrong. And I was wrong for it. I was wrong for those expectations. And those are the things that I needed to break down in order to rebuild myself and my identity, defined by me and my God, not what my father says, not what my mother expects, or not what my girlfriend at the time needed from me personally. I had to redefine that. And of course, I lost people. I lost money. I lost contracts. I lost companies. I lost a lot of things. But for my embodiment of the thing that I yearned for and needed, yielded so much that, man, all of that has been replaced with better.
Oh my goodness! I didn't know you'd go that route. You see, I told you earlier, for you were quite deep. That is so, so profound what you're saying. And let me also share. I've written a book. I've got two books like you. And my first book is called Alone, Growing Up in Alexandra. But there is more to the meaning to the title Alone than just, you know, Alone Growing Up in Alexandra. The reason I wrote the book was at age 32, I found myself for the first time ever, living alone, no boyfriend, no kids. My kids had gone go higher because I had gone bankrupt. Yeah. My first business had gone under.
Yeah.
And for the first time in my life, I live alone, something completely unfamiliar. And I've been performing and I've been pretending and I've been acting my entire life. Now, do you think, and I'm just affirming what you are saying, do you think a lot of people are in performance mode, which is why relationships are not working? And why are we performing so much? What is it? Why is it so hard to be Hakim or to be Lebo authentically?
I absolutely think people are performing. And I think the performance is a performing identities or performing love or performing efficiency is a trauma response, and it's a lack of self-defined identity. And we haven't defined our own identities because we've been relying on the world to tell us and teach us who we are. Mm-hmm. Relying on the world by us and to tell us who we are. And so we have to show up as that performance. We have to show up as their truth. That's the world's truth. And the world is, you know, your mother or your father or your siblings or your friends or your school teachers, your workplace, your bosses, yes. the qualifications. You perform all these things and these things are external of you. You rely on external voices, you're always going to be in chaos mode. You're always going to be in survival mode. And you're surviving a core and an experience that isn't rooted in who you truly are. That's why a lot of people find it difficult to define what their purpose is, and or even to find their purpose, because we're relying on what the world tells us we are. And so moving that skin, and it's eventually you get to a point where you're like, this is not me. This is not the world. You know?
And obviously when it's not you and you are bringing a performance and the other person is bringing some form of persona, eventually we get to a point in the relationship where I'll give you an example, because we both do sort of relationship coaching. I'm a generalist though, but a lot of my clients are relationship coaching. So this one client of mine was starting to work with me, and she was now, her biggest problem was that she is completely, Hakim, completely unavailable, emotionally unavailable, but she thinks she is, and she's in a relationship with this guy. Yeah. And then as she started working with me, she opens up emotionally. I work with her on the body. The more she opens up, the more she now wants this guy to also be available. And the guy's like, there's no way. We didn't. That was not our agreement. Obviously not. I'm saying it between you and I, because you're coach to coach. Yeah. And eventually the relationship had to go because she had attracted equally someone who is unavailable. Yeah. Why? So the question is, why is emotional availability so difficult? Why don't we open up ourselves to be available for relationships?
All right, this is a thread. This you're going to see a golden thread across everything that we talk about. So it's difficult to be vulnerable or to be emotionally unavailable when you don't trust yourself. And you don't trust yourself because you're not you showing up in all these things that you sign up for. So how can you allow for another person who agreed to the performance skin, who agreed to loving the performance skin, or the performance persona or identity, who also has a performance persona and identity, who's performing readiness, performing goodness, performing equity. We all performing. It's all a stage, right? It's a theater. A theater has an observer. Your soul is literally observing you and this person acting a role, acting a part, right? Acting a part. And you know that the part you're both acting, you didn't write. There's a director, there's a screenplay writer, then the back there, there's a gaffer, there's a sound guy, there's all these things that are existing external of the stage you're observing. And you're both observing this. Your real identities are both observing the stage performance. You don't know the plot of the story. You know how you'd like the ending to be. You know how you want the relationship to go, but you don't know the plot. And Mojolo is the stage performer.
Oh my God, you are unraveling us. I want easy answers, man. I want easy answers.
If I say anything that's not based on reality, call me out. If I say anything that is a lie that you don't readily identify with, call me a liar. Call me out.
Okay, cool. Okay, I see that.
Every single time I talk about relationships, about identity, about our love lives, about Mojolo, about marriage, about commitment to oneself, commitment to what God says about you, not a single person has ever called me a liar.
Okay. Can we do a simulation? Can we do a scenario? Can I paint you a picture? So there I am. My name is Reggie. I'm a guy. And I know in my heart of hearts that I want the best relationship. I want to be seen. I want to be heard. I want to show up as authentically as I can. I want to thrive. You know, I want to love and be loved. What is the first thing I need to do?
Why aren't you there yet, Reggie? That's the question I'm going to ask you. Why are you not there yet?
Okay, because I know that the girls I want, or the type of woman I want, is looking for a particular guy. So I was that particular guy. I'm an engineer by profession. I make good money. And I fell in love with this person who I could give her all this to. But I'm not feeling like she loves me back. And I'm not feeling like I am myself. So that's why I'm here.
Okay, cool. So we first are going to deal with those feelings. Forget the person, forget your qualifications, forget what you can give the next person. Have you given Reggie what Reggie needs? You don't feel like you're the person this girl wants. Who's the person this girl wants? What do they do? What kind of relationship do they have with themselves? How do they love themselves? How do they approach themselves? How do they talk to themselves? How do they think? What do they read? What do they eat on a daily basis? Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Where do they live? Why do they live there? What kind of environment are they waking up in? What kind of exercises do they do on a day-to-day basis? Do they do what random guys do that the girls you want don't like? Or do they, who's around them? Who's their mentor? Who's their coach? Who's their therapist? What kind of therapy are they doing, Reggie? You don't feel like you're the guy you want to be who attracts the women you want? Okay. Me and you are going to work on you becoming that guy. And that's the only focus you're going to have. Because when you're that guy, you're going to get better than the girls you think are attracted to that guy. But you have to want to be that guy first. You have to want to live the life this man lives. Not for the results. Not for the results. And me and you are not going to work together if you're going to be lazy and hold on to who you are already that you're unhappy with. So you need to decide, not right now, but you need to decide whether this is the journey you want to take, because you're going to have to kill this version of yourself. It has to go. If you're unhappy with where you are, then let's do the work that makes you proud of who you are.
And you know, Coach Hakeem, as we are talking about this, I also don't even like this engineering thing that I'm doing. I would rather be a musician. I've always been drawn to classical music. I want to go that route.
That is perfect. But you are going to be an entrepreneur. You're already a specialist at what you do, Reggie. This brings you money. This is your food. This is your sustenance. This is your day-to-day meal. So you're going to use your day-to-day check and you're going to become that which you want to become. First, take yourself out on a date and go to the opera or go to the orchestra. Make friends with people that play in bands. See how they live. See what they get paid compared to what you get paid. And look at if that's going to give you the fulfillment that you're chasing. Because we're not chasing happiness. We're not going for the happiness stuff. The happiness stuff is for people who don't know the root of happiness. The root of happiness is personal fulfillment. So go talk to people that are already practitioners and look at whether the quality of life they live is the quality of life you want to live. Look at whether their day-to-day experiences are the day-to-day experiences you want to have. Because we have a perception of what a certain life looks like outside of that life. So go talk to the people that are living that life first. Go befriend them. Go eat with them. Go party with them if you want to. Go see how their families take them. Who are they married to? Are the girls you want to, is the woman you want to be married to, the woman you want to be with, attracted to a person who does music?
Wow. You see my notes? I'm putting them away. Because I didn't have the lyric. Oh my word. I can't believe you're taking me this path. What should women actually understand about relationships? And the reason I'm asking why women is that it seems like we are holding on to an old script, which is guy must provide, guy must be tall, guy must be handsome. Very shallow things, by the way. Yeah. What is it that women are missing? What are we missing? And why are we so single? There's a lot of single women.
All right. So the thing that women need to understand about relationships is throw away your mother's script. Throw away your aunt's pain. Throw away your best friend's heartbreak and the way that she got betrayed. Throw it away. Yeah. Throw away your expectations of men. Okay. Throw it all away. Throw it out. Throw it out. The first relationship you need to understand is your relationship with yourself. The 5/25 rule that's like prevalent in your minds and your hearts. It's literally ruining your life. It's ruining your happiness. Your joy is literally getting sucked away by that bike.
Did you love the episode? If you'd like to listen to more, you know what to do. You'd simply have to subscribe. The subscription link is on all of my social media bio. It is also on the show notes right here on this episode and all the other episodes' show notes. You simply click on the link and you follow the process, and we will see you on the other side. For now, I wish you love and all green lights, as always.